Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
The late great Jerry Ryan formed a bond with his listeners by being human at all times. He would blow his nose on air. He would tell you about whatever happened to him that day. And it was fantastic, engaging radio. And they say if you want to connect with your audience, you really should form a personal bond. And so for this next piece about colonoscopy, I'm going to share a long and detailed visual history of my colonoscopy procedure in which I graphically... Nope, I'm getting a look from the producer that says this is not going to happen, so I will choose a different path. When you take a colonoscopy, you want this procedure, which can be awkward and you have to do some pretty gross stuff beforehand. You want it to be as smooth and as uncomplicated and as painless as possible. And that is the aim of a new device looking to diagnose and treat cancer in the colon. Nikita Greenidge is a postgraduate researcher in surgical robotics at the University of Leeds. She joins me now. Welcome to the programme, Nikita. This is obviously, before we continue with the toilet humour, this is actually a very, very important area when it comes to diagnosing cancer, right? We really need to be able to understand and diagnose cancer as best as possible in our patients. What's wrong with the current way we do that?
Yeah, so thank you, first of all, for having me. I think that the main thing is what you mentioned, is it being painless and it being comfortable for the patient, because with these sorts of procedures, they can be uncomfortable, they can be a bit painful. And the systems that we currently use specifically for colonoscopy were designed, you know, in the 1950s. So it's about time that we really rejig this. And that's exactly what this robot is aiming to do. And not only for the patient, but also for the medical professional, to make it easier for them to use, more enjoyable, and just to improve the entire system.
The word enjoyable really stood out there for me, I have to say, but I'm not sure. I think you mean for the doctor rather than for the patient, I guess. Can I ask you, the route to the colon that you want to investigate for cancer, how long is that? This sounds like a really stupid question. It should be really obvious, but is it like a couple of inches? Is it a couple of feet? Like, how long do you have to keep spooling that wire in up there to get to the colon?
So with the colon starts, you know, pretty much at the exit. Uh-huh. So you're immediately into the colon after you pass the rectum, and you're looking at a couple meters. So
a couple of meters?
Yeah, it's
a couple of meters. Holy crap! I mean, holy crap is the perfect term. That is a lot of colon. I didn't realize. So that's quite a lot of distance to travel, and yes. Of course you want to be able to do that in a way that is as painless and as frictionless as possible. The current technique is what? It's sticking up a sort of a camera on a tube, is it? On a flexible tube? How does it work?
Yeah, so I usually use a garden hose to describe the current technique.
Right.
So
it's not as wide as a garden hose, though, right?
No, slightly smaller. Well, depending on which garden hose you're using.
Oh, really? Wow, okay.
Yeah. It's about 15 to 20 millimeters in diameter.
Sorry, 2 meters of that, of like a snake. That's a lot to take in.
Yes, it can be. But, you know, not to take anything too much away from the current system, because of course it has been a really important device. And so, yes, if you think of a garden hose and you think of a camera on the end of a garden hose that you can stare, that is the current gold standard for conducting a colonoscopy procedure.
And the steering is by little micro servos, right? Little motors within the flexi hose, so it can kind of twist and turn to do a little, or how does it move? How does it decide which way it wants to go?
So with the traditional endoscope, you basically have wires, so you're able to pull these wires, and by pulling one wire versus another wire, it bends the tip in one direction.
I see. Kind of like a sled.
Exactly.
I see. Okay, God, I didn't realize they do that. Okay, so that causes problems because it can snag along the way. Is that right?
So what happens is, as you're pushing it, or as the medical professional is pushing it through the colon, for it to advance, it has to sort of stretch the tissue to push past, because you're leading from the back rather than the tip. You know, the driving force coming from the outside end. And so you get some stretching of the tissue, and this is what really causes discomfort. You can also get some twisting or looping, as you could imagine, because it's quite a long way and you've not got full control over the tip.
Yeah.
You end up getting these loops, which can be very painful and just very inconvenient for the medical professional as well.
Yeah. And those make it longer, make the sedation needs to happen for longer. And you could get little tears along the way, right? So it's not ideal. If I'm right in saying your solution to this is replacing that garden hose that goes up your rectum with what looks like an egg. Like, can you describe this robot? It looks huge.
So to describe this robot, I sort of have to go about 10 years back. So this design, this robotic colonoscopy platform is something that's been in development over the past decade, run by the Storm Lab, led by Professor Pietro Valdastri. And the initial concept, I don't know if your viewers have ever seen Futurama, but there's an episode where he swallows keys. The professor swallows a set of keys.
Yeah.
There's a magnet to drag it from his stomach out through his mouth.
Yeah.
And so
we've all done that.
That's essentially what this robot does. So we have a robotic arm that has a large permanent magnet on the end.
Yeah.
And we have a magnetic endoscope that goes inside the body. By doing that, we can actually manipulate or move the large permanent magnet with the robot and direct this sort of magnetic endoscope through the colon.
So you still have this long snaky tube thing. But it's connected to a robot that is essentially burrowing its way up your colon.
Yes. So the tube is still there, but because it's a lot more flexible, and because what we've transitioned from like a rear-driven device to a front-driven device. So it means that our forces are occurring at the tip, which means that we don't get that stretching of the tissue, and we have more control. Reducing the pain and the discomfort for the patient.
How does this egg-like device propel itself through the colon, please?
So I think the egg that you're referring to, I think, is the oloid shape that we've recently introduced into the design.
Yes.
So previously the design was cylindrical in shape, but recently we've transitioned to an oloid shape design. And this is mainly because in magnetic manipulation, you have this strange limitation where, so for you to be able to generate movement with a magnet, you have to cause a misalignment, because magnets want to be aligned with each other, right? And when you want to turn left to right, for example, that's fine. You can do that with a magnet. Up and down, you can also do that. But rolling a magnet doesn't quite work. And that's because you don't actually create any misalignment by rolling a cylindrical magnet around the axis. So we wanted to reintroduce this. And we thought, well, the simplest way we could do this is by changing the shape. So if you think of a corkscrew when you're opening a bottle of wine, for example, you rotate it, but it moves downwards. So you've combined two different types of motions. You've given it a rotational motion, but it's translated itself into a downwards motion.
Right.
So we thought, how can we combine the left, right, up, down motions to the roll motion that we want? And then this shape sort of fell out of the literature when we were looking around. And I mean, I was mesmerized with it from the time we saw it, because it's really, if you get a chance to Google what it looks like and a video of it rolling, it has a really oddly satisfying way of moving.
Going back to the fact that this is it begins its journey at your anus. I'm just wondering, what are the benefits of the, you said that less tearing, but why do we have to use this robot to get the scope up there in the first place? I mean, why do we use the scope at all? Why don't we just use cameras on the device? I mean, if we're going to use a robot to go all the way up your colon, why not just stick cameras on it?
So there are cameras on it. Yes.
But why do you need the tube then?
So the tube is just to connect. So you need to, once you find the issue, you need to remove the problem. So you need access. So you
Okay. So it's not just diagnostics. At the same time, you actually can then use the tool to perform the surgery.
Exactly.
Ah, okay, okay. And you don't need as much weight in it because you're not you're not navigating the tube anymore.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And so, excuse my ignorance, but why do we do that at all? I mean, we have MRI now, which can, you know, look at soft tissue, right? Why do we need to use a scope at all to detect cancers in the colon?
So there is a version of colonoscopy called the CT colonoscopy, which is performed in especially patients who maybe are a bit more fragile.
Right.
But it is much more expensive and it is not as accurate. The colonoscopy procedure is still considered very much the gold standard of detecting this cancer early, which is really crucial for making sure that it's treatable at that stage.
That's very cool. Can I ask... what is the patient? Because, you know, these days when you design any medical device, typically you involve the patient. It's called PPI, right? Where you design products that are going to affect patients with the patients. I'm just wondering, did you have any patients, I won't say endured, benefited from this particular procedure? Have they seen the device? What are the initial reactions of patients when they... And when they look at this egg that is burrowing up?
Well, for the original system, the cylindrical design, we've actually had some clinical trials already.
Okay.
So it's tested on patients in the States. And all of their feedback was that they didn't feel anything. They didn't feel anything. And so definitely not any pain. And I think people are intrigued by having a robot instead of a colonoscopy. I think there's a lot of fear around the colonoscopy procedure, and maybe revamping it with a robot has brought in some new excitement to hopefully get people to actually get their colonoscopies done.
This is going to be gross. This presumably is a single use device, is it?
Yes. So our robotic system is single use. The traditional colonoscopy, the flexible endoscope, is not. It is reused, but it is reprocessed heavily, than everything else.
Right. But the robot is a one and done sort of situation.
Yes.
Excuse me for this, but could you go any further? Because it is a tube from your mouth all the way down, right?
Yeah.
Could you go further than the colon with this particular device?
Yes, and actually one of our projects is working on a tetherless version of this device, which would be closer to what the capsule endoscopy procedure is, where you swallow a capsule and it travels all the way down through your gastrointestinal system and eventually comes out.
Oh, you swallow the robot?
Yes.
Oh man, that sounds so much better. Can you just is it that you? I guess you need the tools. I'm just trying to figure out. You can't swallow this. This wouldn't work if you swallowed it because you need the tube attached. And the whole point of this is it's sort of like a quarterback. It's kind of like what are they called? The ones with run in front of the quarterback. I don't know anything about American football, but it's like a blocker that the tube goes up and it's frictionless, right? You can't swallow this. But so you could use it for diagnostics, perhaps, but you couldn't use it for operations, right?
Yes, exactly. That's the difference between capsule endoscopy versus one that has a tether, is that the diagnostics at the moment isn't there. But we're actually looking into, for example, ultrasound-triggered therapeutics. And so that would...
Oh, wow. So you would blast if you get really localized positioning to the tumor, you could actually use ultrasound to break it down?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Yes, a swallowable pill that would just do that would be much preferable. But in the meantime, this is a fantastic invention. And it's wonderful to speak to you and have a bit of fun. Nikita Greenidge, postgraduate researcher in surgical robotics at the University of Leeds. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland.
On News Talk.